What's going on, everybody? Thank you so much for joining in for another episode of Random Encounters. My name is Megan Rand. I've been talking to interesting folks in all different walks of life. Shout out to Grand Pooh Bear, last week's guest, who offered a lot of cool insight on being a professional gamer. Now, we go from the games to the raps, to arguably one of the greatest freestyle MCs, bar for bar, pound for pound, that I've ever heard and had the pleasure of gracing stages with. Talking about Mickey Fax, straight out of the Bronx, New York. He's going to talk about his beginnings, his middles, and what he's doing during the pandemic to just kind of stay focused, different strategies, and he offers a lot of really cool insights. So I am looking forward to this chat and sharing it with you all. But before that, I got to do some shameless plugging. I do a live show every Tuesday. I call it Tuesday. And I have special guests on. Last week was Quelle Chris. This week, DJ Cutman. So I will see you Tuesday on my live stream. You can get information on that on my website, megaran.com/shows. Or check my tweets and my Instagrams. It's there too. Also, wanted to shout out anybody out there that is of essential work and service. People are at the post office, people at hospitals, people doing deliveries. Just thank you so much for your sacrifices, doing what you can to keep us safe. I just read something and it gave me a lot of insight. I think that I get tired of cooking every day or things like that. So I like to order out once in a while. But when we're ordering out, on one side, it feels like we're helping by being able to like help someone pay their bills. But we are also putting people out there in harm's way. So I just want to thank them and just have you think about that a little bit. You know, sometimes it might be worth it to cook a little bit. But anyway, here is my cooking conversation with Mickey Fax. Hey everybody, what's going on? This is Megan Rand, and another episode of Random Encounters is underway. This time I have another guest, and this esteemed guest is somebody that I know pretty well. We hit the road together, but I started off as a fan of this brother, so I would like to introduce everybody to Mickey Fax. What's going on, bro?
Smicky, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
You know, we are maintaining, you know, doing our best. That's what we do as artists, I feel like. So we in these like unprecedented times, things are different, crazier than ever. When you realized that you would be at home for an unknown amount of time, what are the thoughts that went through your head? One, as a new parent, two, as a man, and three, I think as a performing artist. What were you thinking?
Well, the first thing that went through my head was, this is not too bad because I planned on staying home to help my wife up until April 11th, which was literally the next show that I had as a solo artist. As you know, I was going to do two shows with Lupe. They were actually supposed to happen this past Friday and this past Sunday. Both shows, well, the first show was sold out and this one was on its way to selling out. So they both got canceled. So that was a little frustrating. So three shows basically gone in the wind. Then, you know, I started to see that a lot of artists, you know, who usually have features for me, they were starting to pull back because, you know, they needed their emergency funds. So what I started to do was I started to kind of, you know, plan. And the plan was to kind of just put content out consistently and constantly, just for the core following. What I've noticed is my SoundCloud hasn't really been as jumping as my Instagram and my Facebook. But, you know, the engagement has been pretty big in terms of my Triller videos and going on different people's lives and freestyling and doing interviews via things such as this. You know, I think it's a time to just kind of give your particular fan base as much as yourself as you possibly can during this time. I think they need to be entertained and have their minds taken off of what's happening. And, you know, I'm doing my best to kind of give them that as much as I possibly can. I've also just kind of, you know, dedicated myself to putting together a project, projects, you know, for the release during this time and prepping for when this is done with. You know, we've been, you and I have been sharing articles, you know, pertaining to performing and how crazy it's going to be once everything is kind of back to normal. You know, the performing arts state, the state of the performing arts will be a little crazy because everybody's going to probably try to hit the road at the same time. So I don't want to kind of deal with stuff like that. I'm probably just going to hold out and stick to being online for about another year, year and a half, just making money. Unless I can open up for a bigger artist again, you know what I'm saying? Before I hit the road again on some co-headlining, headlining kind of stuff, you know?
Gotcha. Makes a lot of sense. So creatively, it's taken a lot of folks into a different direction and, in a good way, allowed a lot of people to finish and start some projects that they may have been putting off for a while. And I've been doing the same thing. I just saw an article on Hip Hop DX that says music streaming is down since everybody's been at home. I got some ideas as to why, but what do you think about that? Why is that?
I mean, I just think everybody's pretty much going online. So it's, I mean, everybody's streaming at the same time. I mean, that would be my biggest thing that I'm thinking of, you know. I personally, you know, unless I have a cohesive project, my streaming has never been something to just kind of always depend on. You know, I live off of a lot of the older content that I've put out, as opposed to what, you know, these random singles that I've been dropping. It hasn't been, you know, it hasn't been what I would like it to be, you know, but I know if I was to put out a project, you know, it would be like, because I think my fans kind of know that, okay, when Mickey drops a project, it's a body of work as opposed to just these random singles. Everything kind of connects.
It's a moment. It feels like there's a reason for it and there's a focused concept behind it. And that's one thing I do dig about your work is that it's usually focused and cohesive and not random, so to speak. So I think that a lot of folks, and what about you personally as a music listener? Do you find yourself listening to less music, less podcasts, less streaming, less Spotify, Apple Music, whatever? I know I have. I don't listen to the same podcasts, at least now, because I'm just busy trying to create myself. And I think that a lot of it is because of the commutes, you know, commuting to work, commuting to the club, the wherever you're going, is when you listen to a lot of music and a lot of people are not able to commute.
That is so very true.
I think this natural, people, the gyms is closed. Yeah. So it's, wow. You know, you can't really play your tunes if you don't have a thing to play them at or to. So I think that makes a lot of sense. And a lot of people were thinking, myself included, like, oh, this is the time that everybody's going to be streaming. They want to hear something new on Spotify. Maybe they do, but maybe it's time to think a little outside of the box and create in a different way.
Do you think someone like Jay Electronica, for example, who just dropped his project, his numbers, I think, were between, I think, 15,000, maybe 36,000. Do you think that's a low number dealing with how it dropped in the middle of the pandemic or at the beginning of the pandemic?
I don't know, because he's a different type of artist. You know, his absence has been a thing. You know, this is what, 10 years in the making, but he's also not a visual guy. Like, he's not interviewing. He's not doing videos. I think that's expected. I feel like he would have probably done the same numbers if this happened a year ago or now. That's kind of what I think, because I feel like his audience is a very unique audience, and it's an audience that's been waiting for him for a long time. And he's kind of exempt to a lot of the rules of new artists because he's not that. So I don't know. I feel like because it's been so long, I know just as many people who were hyped about it as were like not hyped to be like, it took long enough, you know? So, yeah, I don't know, man. I feel like his numbers would have been similar. I don't know. What do you think?
I would think the same, maybe a little bit more, maybe if he, you know, like you said, he promoted a little bit more, maybe. But you know, that just, I only brung him up because it goes against, you know, gym potentially going to the club, you know, people are kind of, you know, tuning into Jay for, you know, bar work. And, you know, it's a double listen kind of thing. You have to kind of listen to what he's doing as opposed to, mm-hmm. you know, it's a vibe kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? So that's the reason why I asked.
Okay, that's a good question. All right, so I'm going to get to the fun part where we get to do a what if. Marvel Comics, some of my favorite comics were the What If series. And they'd be like, what if Spider-Man never got bit? Or what if the Punisher's family would have lived? And, you know, like, what would have been their origin story if things are different? So what if Mickey Fax was not the rapper, songwriter, ghostwriter, creative that we know now? What would the life of Mickey Fax be in an alternate reality?
That's a good question. Now my question to you is, is it a question of if I did not succeed in leaving school, or if I just never picked up a pen, period?
Let's say if you never picked up a pen, or you did it once and it was like, this ain't for me, and you just went back to life.
Okay, I have two answers for that. The first answer would be, I have to answer that at the age of me not picking up a pen. And then I have to answer it with this mindset that I have now and what I enjoy at the age that I am now. So the first answer to your question would be, to me, I would probably either be an accountant or an attorney, sadly. I was already learning law. I actually ran into some of my old NYU papers when I was studying law, criminal justice and securities and acts and torts and things like that. I would have probably gotten into something like that, and I was always good at math. So if I didn't want to be an attorney, I would have probably, you know, went the accountant role. Probably did one or two of those things, man.
Wow. So that's prior to, like, so this is college age when you picked up the mic and were like, all right, this is going to be the thing I do. And you put your all into that. So is that, okay. So at that time, that was like a key moment. So if, let's say if you wrote your first rhyme and you were like, eh, or somebody around you was like, nah, don't quit your day job, kid. This, you would have been the attorney at law or accountant.
Yep. That's,
wow.
It's very depressing to even kind of, and you know, that, you know, shout out to all the attorneys out there. You know, I don't want them to feel like I'm downgrading what they do. I feel like maybe it's the system and how things are learned. I just didn't like how learning was for me in school, in college. I was like, this is not for me. Especially then, you know, again, going to student loan thing. Like, it didn't make any sense to me. You know, from a financial standpoint, I was like, no, this is not for me. So yeah, I would have probably been one of those two things, you know.
Everybody's story is always interesting and different. So that's why I love to find that out. Like, what people would have been in a different reality. But of course, thank goodness. I mean, not against nothing against accountants. These are very important people and attorneys. But I think that the way it happened is obviously the way it was supposed to happen. And I think we're all better for that. And I would dare I say hip hop is better for that.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. And, you know, now knowing what I know now at my age, I would have probably been a chef. You know, I love to cook. It's something that I just do no matter what time I get into the house, you know, whether I'm on tour or when I'm out, you know, I will cook, you know, so I'd probably do something like that, you know.
Chef facts. Okay, I like that. All right, so what is your, as a chef, what's your specialty? What's your dish?
It depends on how I'm feeling. I mean, as of late, you know, I've been baking more because I'm trying to lose some weight. So I've been baking, you know, a lot more chicken, and I've been getting into the veggies a little bit more. But before, you know, this small little health kick that's not being looked at due to Corona, I was a very big Asian cuisine fan. Like I really, really love cooking with my wok. I love cooking with my Asian spices. So, you know, I like my sweet and sour chicken. I like my General Tso's. I do my fried rices. I do my lo mains, you know, I do stuff like that. So that's my thing.
Asian is my favorite. So that's like, I feel you on that. I feel like I could eat some sort of Asian food every day of the week and have no problem with it.
Yeah, nah, Asian food is awesome, man. Especially when you learn how to cook it, you know, it's like.
And there's an art to it, you know, like I love the fact that the presentation is always on point with Asian cuisines. Yep. To the point where it looks like a work of art, you know, that's always been dope.
Agreed.
From like the sushi and all the colors and, you know, like it's always really dope. Yeah,
and they're very healthy people too. You know, a lot of their foods is grain and protein based along with a lot of vegetables. So, you know, it's pretty healthy foods.
That's true. Word. All right. So I wanted to take you as left field as I could without going so deep into the typical, how'd you start rapping? Where'd you start rapping at? How'd you, what's your favorite, right. You know? I'm going to wrap up, but with my final question, I'm going to ask you, what was the moment in music where you knew like, all right, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, this is obviously for me and I'm good at this and I'm better than average and I'm a better rapper than I would have been attorney or accountant. Was there a moment you could think of, like you got off stage or you rapped for somebody or props from somebody you respected, any moment where you was like, you know what, I belong here?
I mean, I think I had a couple of those moments, only because, you know, hip hop was in a transition phase when, you know, I started to kind of come up. And I had been rapping for like 7 years and nothing had happened. Like it was like one of those scenarios where I don't know if I should be doing this. But the moment that I was like, this is actually going to happen, was I was, you know, MySpace was out and I had put out 4 tracks on MySpace. One was, you know, I rapped over the Geico commercial beat. And everywhere I go, she's a girl I've been trying to get. So I ask her what time is it, just to hear her acknowledge it. I be stalking her, not really, I just want to talk to her, try to get to know her and walk with her. But right now to her, I'm a foreigner. See, it's kind of weird because she reminds me of an old girl that used to like me. Broke up with her because she's a Pisces. Yeah, I'm a Cancer, but things are shiesty. Now I got a feeling that shorty might be my new best friend and my wifey. Us being together will be so icy. Cause she reminds me of you. And everywhere I go. Then I rapped over. I took the arms race beat that Gym Class Heroes did, and I rapped over that. Then I rapped over some Daniel Merriweather, and then I rapped over a record that was produced. That was like, it was produced by somebody overseas, and I took it and I rapped over it. And it was like electronic rap pop type thing. And Fader reached out to me. And when Fader reached out to me to be featured in their next gen thing, that was when I was like, okay, I'm meant to do this. Because at that time, we're not talking 2020, 2019, 2018, in 2007, to be in the Fader magazine, it was very, very, very exclusive. And when they reached out to me with no publicist and was like, we want to feature you, that was the moment. Because after they did it, every single magazine reached out right after that. And that's when I knew this is what I'm supposed to do.
All right, I like it. So I'm gonna end on that on a positive note. And do you have any advice for creatives right now? Creatives who might be kind of scared about what's popping and what the future looks like. What would be a brief piece of advice for creatives?
Just content, man, and check the analytics on the content. You know, just try and do everything. You know, like I said in the beginning of this interview, you know, I was like, I'm going to put out something every day. And, you know, I did the trillers. I did the SoundCloud thing. I've done some YouTube stuff. I've done some Twitter stuff. I've done some Instagram stuff. And now after 2 weeks of doing these things, I know what hits for my fans and what they want from me. So I'm just going to continue to do that. There's still some more initiatives that I want to get into, such as, you know, creating more content for YouTube, start on my Patreon, you know what I'm saying? Try to learn a little bit more on the Mac so I can do, you know, when I can do some reactions whenever trailers drop. Like, these are things that I'm fans of online. So I want to kind of create a community. But my advice to creators are just try as many things as you possibly can in this time and see what works for you and what will assist you in, you know, making money. Because at the end of the day, you know, content is king and everybody's pretty much home unless they're an essential worker, which means, you know, people want to be entertained. And, you know, if they want to be entertained, you know, you can potentially, you know, get some sort of income out of people if, you know, you do your things correctly. So just hold fast to what you believe in and keep pushing, because, you know, that's the only thing we can do at this point, unless we're waiting for the government to, you know, bail us out, which I'm not waiting for.
I feel you on that. I'm not waiting. All right, good advice. All right, tell the people how to get in touch with you, how to find you.
Yeah, on the absolutely. Internet. Follow me on all social media platforms. We'll start with Twitter, twitter.com/MickeyFacts, MickeyFactz. Also, hit me up on Instagram, Mickey.facts, Facebook.com/OfficialMickeyFacts, Snapchat, RealMickeyFacts. Follow me on Triller, MickeyFacts, all spelled correctly. And, you know, listen to some stuff on SoundCloud, listen to some stuff on iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, Tidal, wherever you get your streaming services if you're listening to music. And just, you know, follow me and check out what we have coming up. You know, I'm just trying my best to entertain the people as much as I can every single day.
Word. I want to say I appreciate you taking this time. And also, I appreciate you for being who you are, being, to me, an esteemed elite level lyricist who never slacks, never turns it off, and always comes with quality. So as a guy who has traveled with you a little bit, and sat in the car with you, you're always full of knowledge, you're always willing to share, and you always bring it, you deliver. So I wanted to say I thank you, and I
thank you, brother. I appreciate you as well. Great, great person. Funny guy. Very professional. You know, very accommodating, you know, and just I feel like, you know, Corona has kind of tried to hate on your plans for 2020 and reaching that status of being, you know, this guy that can also, you know, spar with the big boys, you know what I'm saying? But I feel like, you know, as soon as this is over with, you know, it's back to regularly scheduled programming and people are going to kind of get a chance to hear what you can do, you know what I'm saying, outside of just the gamer stuff, you know what I'm saying? I'm excited to see, you know, the people's reaction to your stuff, you know what I'm saying? It's really, really dope, bro.
Oh yeah, thank you, man. It's gonna be an exciting time. I'm prepared to go the distance with it. So, you know, all in
absolutely
due time.
King.
All right. Another episode is in the books. Thank you so much to Mickey Facts for taking the time to chat with me while holding his son and you know, enjoying new fatherhood. Salute and congrats to that brother. Such a good dude. Extremely talented cat. So there will be more episodes, of course. I'll see you next week for that. In the meantime, I do a live show every Tuesday on my live stream, which can be found at patreon.com/megaran, or you can get me on Twitch, where I'm playing video games pretty much every day of the week. That's twitch.tv/mega_ran. Now, that's not all. Mickey Facts, such a prolific dude when it comes to features and high-quality guest spots. He popped up on the new Sax Kicks Ave project, which is from Alfred Banks and his man Albert from Tank and the Bangers. The project's great, and this is one of my favorite tracks from it, which features Mickey Facts. So I'm going to run that for you. This is Optimism, which we all need a little bit of in today's world. So be safe. Stay inside if you can. Check in on your loved ones and continue to have awesome times, or at least do the best you can. All right. Thanks, y'all. Peace.
Couple years back, I was broke trying to hold tears back. Now I got a home I can stare at. Spending all kind of dough down on Fairfax. Living off the bars that I write. Oh, what a life. Had to turn the missus to a mom from a wife. Left my mark in the tree bark in the night. That I'm the best ever and it's carved with a knife. Wish I'm in a couple films, oh, what a thrill. I'm still a sneakerhead looking at the wheels. Pull up in that ill with my body on chill. Thought about a grill, not the ones for a meal. Life really what you make peace say. Treat the game like the admiral and I'm the dream shake. Long as I'm alive, it's a sweet stakes. And I win every time, no debate.
Hold up! Oh, what? That's what's up, bro.
Well, I'ma pick it up from here. Yo, facts, we only going up from here. I went from doing open mics, $50 nights, to leaving with a stack almost every night. And if I'm doing 10 shows and they back to back, I'm coming home straight once you do the math. People stop me for a pick and that's kinda nice, but they gotta hurry up, I'ma miss a flight. Took my lady on a birthday trip to a restaurant and we didn't pay for shit. Yeah, I got a flaunt, asking where I got those kicks. They flew in from Japan, you would never understand. My verified checks give me verified checks. Am I right? No, I'm strong, I ain't even got stretch. What's up?
Yeah, you know, optimism is something I've always struggled with. But at the end of the day, you know, things are going so well right now, you have no choice but to be, you know what I mean? I'm sure facts can agree that sometimes things get a little crazy, and optimism could be the main driving force, so, yeah, Underdog Central.